Wayne Cowdery and I are very close because he is a descendant of Oliver Cowdery, who allegedly wrote down the Book of Mormon that Joseph was dictating. He's now a reborn Christian. I am a descendant of Brigham Young, successor to Joseph Smith, ruler of the Latter-day Saints Church, a born-again Christian. How would anybody ever think that Cowdery, the scribe, and Young, the successor, would stand together on the platform and expose the whole thing as fraudulent? Here we are. The irony of God is remarkable. Now, this story is coming out in a book called Who Really Wrote the Book of Mormon? But the story is like a detective tale. So what I'm going to do is to let you go through years of research in just minutes and arrive where they have arrived. We have a surprise guest today we didn't know about. We're going to introduce him a little bit later on. But these three men are here. Now, let me have them share with you the great research project that brought them to where they are at the present moment. This much background I can give you. Joseph Smith Jr.'s revelation was questioned very early by people who said it sounded very familiar. They said they'd heard it before, and then they identified the source. They said that they had heard it from the writings of a retired Congregationalist minister. And from that point on, these gentlemen will pick up the thread. Howard, would you step forward? Dr. Howard Davis is a researcher, co-author of this new book coming out, and I'd like him to share with you for a few minutes just how they found the Book of Mormon document, and we're going to show you a picture of it just in case you or the Mormon Church thinks we're joking. It is no joke. It's here, right in this building tonight. And that's an historic moment. 147 years afterwards, we have it. Howard, share with us.
I used to read some of Dr. Martin's books, one of them being The Kingdom of the Cults and Maze of Mormonism. And in his writings and in his public lectures, Dr. Martin made the assertion that a retired Congregationalist minister by the name of Solomon Spaulding wrote what is now known the world over as the Book of Mormon. The latter part of 1974, I decided to engage in a research project to determine whether or not Dr. Martin's assertions were correct. At the first part of the year, January of 1975, I met Wayne Cowdery in this research project. Later on, Don Scales joined us as a team. We began writing letters all over the United States and the world. We began going to some of the best libraries that we could at that time. Bancroft Library up in Berkeley has an excellent collection on early Mormon documents. So we went there. And as we began progressing, the Mormon people began to put a great deal of pressure on Wayne. And Wayne had studied or had read the Book of Mormon and finally came to the conclusion at that time in his life that the Book of Mormon was of God. He received the burning of the breast, as the Mormon calls it, or the fluttering of the heart, or the warmth of the Holy Spirit. And by this expression, he felt that the Book of Mormon was a work of God. So Wayne was baptized into the Mormon Church. Of course, Wayne being a great celebrity amongst them, being a descendant of Oliver Cowdery, the second elder of the Mormon Church, as well as scribe to the Book of Mormon. December of 75, I went up to Berkeley to visit my parents. And while at the Bancroft Library, I was studying portions of Solomon Spaulding's manuscript story. This was a manuscript that Mr. Spaulding had written around 1809 in Ohio. It was his first attempt at writing a history of the ancient inhabitants of this country. And I wasn't that much impressed with it. It did not seem, at first glance, to resemble passages from the Book of Mormon. I went home, and a Xerox copy of the book was finally procured by Don and myself. We began examining it in the light of the Book of Mormon. We bought a Book of Mormon concordance, and we began analyzing all of the various passages between both productions using the scientific literary comparative method to see if there was a singular author in both productions. I tabulated over 100 of them, even though the Mormon Church officially has declared there's not one sentence, not one word that is common to both productions. And as Mr. Cowdery said at his excommunication trial, that's correct. There isn't one. There are hundreds. And the bishop, who is a trial lawyer by profession, became infuriated. And both of his counselors were looking at him, and Mr. Cowdery was sitting there very stern and adamant, and he began lowering his posture. And Wayne went on to assert that there are indeed hundreds of parallels between the manuscript story, which is the known novel, a known novel by Solomon Spaulding, as it compares with the so-called sacred work called the Book of Mormon. After I tabulated 100 of these parallels and I sent them to Mr. Cowdery, upon receipt of that letter, he called me immediately. He said, "Is this correct?" I said, "Yes, it is. I'm coming right over." And that night, we stayed up a good part of the night examining these parallels, and Wayne was shocked. They had told him that all it was a book on Indians, that nothing in Solomon Spaulding's manuscript story related to the Book of Mormon. So therefore, he could not have possibly been the author to the Book of Mormon. And so Wayne left the church. He was summoned to an excommunication trial and was found guilty and excommunicated from the Mormon Church, of course, at his request. And then we began to delve into obtaining some known samples of Solomon Spaulding's handwriting. Mrs. Cowles, who's the chief cataloger at Oberlin College in Ohio, where the manuscript story is now presently on deposit, sent us a Xerox of a letter and some other material written by the hand of Solomon Spaulding. We begin to avidly study every portion of this handwriting, the lineal base pattern, the proportionate heights between letters, the spaces between words, etc. So we become so familiar with his handwriting that if we saw it in a manuscript that paralleled the Book of Mormon, the coveted manuscript found, we could immediately identify it, or at least it would be recognizable to us, and we could do further research on that paper. February of 1975, due to an erratic schedule and not eating properly and some of the things I tell everybody else to do, I fell ill. And I looked at a book that had a picture in it of an old manuscript in the lower right-hand corner. And as I began analyzing that manuscript, it looked like Solomon Spaulding's handwriting. I began checking the various comparisons between both specimens, and they looked so much alike. I called Mr. Scales up, and he examined them. He had studied Spaulding's handwriting for countless hours, and we got out a magnifying glass and began looking at it. And it looked so much like Solomon Spaulding's handwriting. So, in time, we found out that that was a photo reproduction of a manuscript sheet now housed in the archives of the LDS Church at Salt Lake City, Utah, at the Church History Department.
I think it's very important for this point to be made right here. This manuscript, he found, was not something that was dug up in a trunk somewhere, not a possible forgery, but it was published by the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, and they said it was an unknown scribe. They never checked the handwriting against Solomon Spaulding. What happened was they were holding the documents in their own archives and protecting them for us, and they never even knew they had them. I like Howard to share about what happened when he discovered this particular thing.
Once again, after finding out what that manuscript was, we immediately began to write the LDS Church Historians Department asking for photo reproductions of the original Book of Mormon. They sent us some Xerox sheets, and as we began studying, especially BYU Studies, spring of 1970, by Mr. Dean C. Jesse, we found that that portion was written by an unidentified scribe, some 12 sheets. And it made us indeed very suspicious, but being researchers, we have to be very objective, and we began prying and studying. First of all, we even took the unidentified scribe began to, the way he spelled words. Very, very peculiar. And Mr. Cowdery tabulated all of the misspelled words in the known production of Solomon Spaulding, the manuscript story, and they were identical. And then we decided that a handwriting expert or a document examiner must be called in to examine these two documents. And we didn't know how to go about it exactly. Document examiners don't come cheap. We weren't sure who to trust and who not to trust. Dr. Martin doesn't know how to do it. So we just didn't know what to do exactly about finding an honest, reputable document examiner. Miss Terry Broadway and myself visited a sick friend of hers in Los Angeles. We met a man who said that his mother could be able to help us in the analyzation of handwriting. She in turn told us that Mr. Henry Silver has had over 50 years' experience and that the Library of Congress on numerous occasions has recommended his services on the West Coast. We found upon examination of his record that his credentials are impeccable and that he has had many, many long years of experience in question documents. I phoned him up and he came over and made a long, extensive study of the documents. And these were his very words. After looking at the documents, he looked up at us with a smile and he said, "This is ridiculous. You boys knew this all along, didn't you?" And he summoned Mr. Cowdery over to his magnification equipment. Mr. Cowdery looked at certain identifying characteristics that Mr. Silver began to point out to him. And he said that it is my conclusion, an absolute conviction, I have no doubt about it, that Solomon Spaulding wrote this portion, which of course parallels the Book of Mormon, which is otherwise known, who's otherwise known as the unidentified scribe. And from that point, we contacted another handwriting expert by the name of William Kay, and he's had over 41 years' experience in the field. His credentials are excellent. He's worked for some of the largest corporations in America. He is qualified to testify in the Supreme Court of Canada, and he's also done extensive work for Scotland Yard. He's going over to Europe this summer to do some criminal investigations for some of their departments. And then, of course, last but not least, we began searching for a third expert. We wanted three experts. We came across Howard C. Dolder, and we were extremely impressed with his background and qualifications. He has worked for the U.S. Treasury Department. Now, you don't get a job with the government or with the U.S. Treasury Department unless you have tremendous gifted abilities. And Mr. Dolder worked for the government for a number of years. He has also worked with the Milwaukee Police Department and other law enforcement agencies in America. And he has been to court numerous times on the subject of question documents. Incidentally, he's also an expert in identifying fingerprints. And we called him into the case. And he says it is his opinion, based on the photocopied reproductions, if they are genuine, if they are exact reproductions of the original, that it is his opinion that Solomon Spaulding executed both works. And that's...
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, don't... I wish we had the time to go into all of this, but let me sum it up for you in terms that you can't possibly misinterpret. The Spaulding manuscript is in the archives of the Mormon Church. It will be examined this Tuesday by Henry Silver, shortly afterwards by Howard Dolder, and also by Mr. Kay, if we can get him to Salt Lake City, so that they may actually see the document itself. However, the Mormon Church has made reproductions of that document and certified that it's accurate. Therefore, they worked from documents which the Church recognized as accurate. Our surprise guest right now is one of these handwriting experts who came here after he found out what it was all about, because Howard did not tell you that none of the handwriting experts ever met, ever discussed it, ever knew that it was connected with the Book of Mormon, knew absolutely nothing. In fact, Mr. Silver was the man chosen by the Mormons to go over the Howard Hughes will. So it's going to be very difficult to say amen to Henry Silver for 1/16 of $800 million and then say no to him on the Book of Mormon. It just can't be done. Comes under the heading of being under between the rock and the hard place. Mr. Dolder got interested because he didn't know anything about Mormonism, never met a Mormon, knew nothing. But when he began to see what was going on, particularly since some Mormons have suggested on the radio, and doubtless will do so at other times, that somehow or other the handwriting experts aren't experts and that if they are, we paid them off, he thought it was necessary to make an appearance here and chat with me, and we chatted. And I asked to come down and sit in the front row because his findings were reported to the Los Angeles Times. And in the Times article, he certified insofar as the reproductions are accurate, this is the handwriting of Solomon Spaulding, the author of the Book of Mormon, not Joseph Smith and the angel Moroni. Howard, would you stand up? Mr. Howard Dolder. I'm happy to say that the reason for all this is the greatest reason in the world. Jesus Christ loves Mormons. He died on the cross for them. All these years of research and work, over the years by scholars, going back to the earliest days of Joseph Smith, 1830, people trying to bring the evidence out, and each time they have been laughed to scorn, each time what they've done has been suppressed, each time everything has been poo-pooed. Now, poo-poo is gone forever. We are now facing the document. Would you kindly unroll the Book of Mormon by Solomon Spaulding and step right up there in front of the camera and let the people see. This is the handwriting expert's opinion that 12 and a half pages of the Book of Mormon is in the handwriting of the Reverend Solomon Spaulding. There was no angel Moroni. There were no golden plates. There they are, and Joseph Smith Jr. is a false prophet. Show the people back in the back. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is introduced for the purpose of saving men out of the world. I was in Dublin, California last week, and I mentioned that this was coming, and there was a bundle of Mormons there. I asked them to raise their hand. They raised their hands. The church forbids them to come and listen to me, so they come. I hope they'll make it official, then they'll come by the thousands. They came. I lectured. I presented the evidence on racism. I presented the evidence on mistranslation. I presented the evidence on lying in the courtroom and what happened to him. After I got all finished, I said, I have nothing personally against Joseph Smith Jr., but if a man speaks in the name of God and he lies, he's a false prophet. And the scripture says, Deuteronomy chapter 18, you shall not respect that man anymore. That's a command. I said to the Mormons that were there, is there any Mormon here who, if this turns out to be true, and Joseph Smith indeed stole from Solomon Spaulding, claiming that it was from God and basing his church on it, your church, if he lied to you, will you still stay Mormons? Put up your hands. One person of all the Mormons raised her hand. One. And I was intrigued. I said, you mean if he's a false prophet, a liar, a fraud, a deceiver, if he's made merchandise of all you people, still you'll be a Mormon? She said, "I believe. I believe." Last night on radio, a Mormon missionary called in, just came back from the field. He accused all the handwriting experts of being paid lackeys. He accused these gentlemen of being my employees. And I never knew them until Wayne Cowdery showed up at my house and said, "I've got something I think you'll be interested in." Whee! I knew nothing about it until then. I want to tell you something. I believed what they were saying. And I knew it would come out in the open. This Mormon missionary said last night on the radio, I said, if it's proven that he's a fraud, if it's proven that it's a lie, if the documents are fallacious, and I went right down the line. I said, "Will you still be a Mormon?" "Yes." And I said to him, "What would you consider evidence that Joseph Smith was a false prophet? Tell me." And so help me, this is what came back. "If Joseph Smith himself tells me he's a false prophet, I'll believe him." Well, of course, if Joseph appeared and told him he was a false prophet, then of course it would be a demon and not Joseph. So anyway, you can't win. But this is the truth. This is the truth. The Scripture says, now mark it in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:4. If our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So who is blinding the minds of the Mormon people? The God of this age. And their minds cannot see, nor can they comprehend. So what we want to do is pray for them that the Lord will open the eyes and the ears of their souls. Amen. What we want to do is reach out in love to them. Don't go out of this meeting with "I told you so" written all over your face or out of your mouth. The evidence has been presented here. It'll be in their book, available in our bookstore in about 6 weeks. Who really wrote the Book of Mormon? All the documentation you want. My book, The Maze of Mormonism, will carry this and additional materials recommending what they have done. It's there. When you get your hands on it, digest it, and go out from this church loving the Mormons and showing them that they've been deceived by Joseph Smith. There's a difference between the Mormon church and the Mormon people. The Mormon church suppresses the Mormon people in the truths they know exist. But the Mormon people are the victims of the structure and the victims of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. And we want to pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will set them free. There is so much more, so little time. But that night in Dublin, one hand went up in the back, in the Mormon row. And I said, "If you want to receive the real Jesus as your Savior, if you want to give up the Mormon Jesus and come to the real Jesus, the door's open. The Mormon Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, who became the devil. The Mormon Jesus was created by God as a second God, and there are millions of gods. The Mormon Jesus was married to the Marys and Martha and procreated children. The Mormon Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is the creator of Lucifer, not his brother. For Colossians 1 says, by him were all things created. Visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he exists before all things. Jesus Christ is Lord. That young lady came down the front of the church, Valley Christian Center in Dublin. Received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she was hugging me and crying and hugging me and hugging me. And I want to tell you, when a Mormon hugs me, that's grace. and she says, "I found Jesus, praise the Lord." Today, there are Mormons in this audience. I know you're there. Because I saw you shaking your head when you thought I was wrong, and nodding your head when you thought I was right. And then I saw you look at that document, craning your necks out of the seats, because you want to know if what they've got is really Solomon Spaulding. Answer? You better believe it is. Check Time Magazine and Christianity Today and United Press. You'll see for yourself. Nobody's printing anything. And Howard Dolder is not going to put his name on the line, nor is Henry Silver, nor Mr. Kay, unless they have the expertise to make those kind of decisions. And neither am I going to risk 27 years of research unless I know the documents are genuine. They're genuine. Spaulding wrote it. And you Mormons that are sitting out there, Joseph lied to you. He deceived you. He's a racist. And he's not a prophet of God. If you want any evidence, documents, photocopies, anything else, you can have it. But the most important message you ever heard in your life, you heard today. The Mormon Church is not the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. The Christian Church stands. And Joseph Smith said, nobody had ever done a work like his. He would come out on top. He was assassinated very shortly after he made that statement. He did not come out. He went under. And Mormonism has gone on with a martyred prophet, but he was no martyr. Smith was shooting at the people that were trying to kill him. Martyrs don't do that. Martyrs die praising the Lord as Stephen did and calling for forgiveness. Martyrs don't lie shooting the people shooting at them. So you Mormons who are here with us right now, and other people who are here with us, this isn't an expose of Mormonism. This is an exercise in history and a revelation of truth by a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. We're so grateful that God has made this information available for the salvation of the Mormon people. They don't have to be racist anymore. They don't have to support the polytheism of Joseph Smith. They don't have to believe he was a prophet. They can turn from Smith and Young, and they can come back to Jesus Christ.